Chapter 4. Snowflakes. They say that there can never be two snowflakes that are exactly alike. But has anyone checked lately? Snow fell gently in the darkness. It piled up on rooftops. It kissed its way between the branches of trees. It settled on the forest floor with a gentle sizzle and smelled sharply of tin. Granny Weatherwax always checked the snow. She stood at her doorway with the candlelight streaming out around her and caught flakes on the back of a shovel. The white kitten watched the snowflakes. That's all it did. It didn't bat them with a paw, it just watched, very intently. Each flake spiraled down until it landed. Then the kitten would watch it some more, until it was sure the entertainment was over, before it looked up and selected another flake. It was called You, as in, You, stop that, and You, get off there. When it came to names, Granny Weatherwax didn't do fancy. Granny looked at the snowflakes and smiled in her not exactly nice way. Come back in, you, she said, and shut the door. Miss Tick was shivering by the fire. It wasn't very big, just big enough. However, there was the smell of bacon and peas pudding coming from a small pot on the embers, and beside the small pot was a much larger one, from which came the smell of chicken. Miss Tick didn't often get chicken, so she lived in hope. It had to be said that Granny Weatherwax and Miss Tick did not get on well with each other. Senior witches often don't. You could tell that they didn't by the way they were extremely polite all the time.
The snow is early this year, Mistress Weatherwax, said Miss Tick.
Indeed it is, Miss Tick, said Granny Weatherwax. And so interesting. Have you looked at it?
I've seen snow before, Mistress Weatherwax, said Miss Tick. It was snowing all the way up here. I had to help push the mail coach. I saw altogether too much snow. But what are we going to do about Tiffany Aching?
Nothing, Miss Tick. More tea?
She is rather our responsibility.
No, she's hers, first and last. She's a witch. She danced the winter dance. I saw her do it.
I'm sure she didn't mean to, said Miss Tick.
How can you dance and not mean it?
She's young. The excitement's probably run away with her feet. She didn't know what was going on.
She should have found out, said Granny Weatherwax. She should have listened.
I'm sure you always did what you were told when you were almost 13, Mistress Weatherwax, said Miss Tick, with just a hint of sarcasm.
Granny Weatherwax stared at the wall for a moment.
No, she said. I made mistakes, but I didn't make excuses.
I thought you wanted to help the child.
I'll help her to help herself. That is my way. She's danced into the oldest story there is, and the only way out is through the other end. The only way, Miss Tick.
Miss Tick sighed. Stories, she thought.
Granny Weatherwax believes the world is all about stories.
Oh, well, we all have our funny little ways. Except me, obviously.
Of course. It's just that she's so normal, Miss Tick said aloud. When you consider what she's done, I mean. And she thinks so much. And now that she's come to the attention of the Wintersmith, well...
She fascinates him, said Granny Weatherwax.
That's going to be a big problem.
Which she will have to solve.
And if she can't?
Then she's not Tiffany Aching, said Granny Weatherwax firmly. Ah, yes, she's in the story now, but she don't know it. Look at the snow, Miss Tick. They say that no two snowflakes are alike. How could they know something like that? Oh, they thinks they're so smart. I've always wanted to catch them out, and I have done. Go outside now and look at the snow. Look at the snow, Miss Tick. Every flake the same.
Tiffany heard the knocking and opened the tiny bedroom window with difficulty. Snow had built up on the sill, soft and fluffy.
"We didn't want to wake you," said Rob Anybody. "But awfully wee Billy said you ought to see this."
Tiffany yawned. "What am I looking for?" she muttered.
"Catch some of yon flakes," said Rob. "No, not on your hand. They'll melt tea soon."
In the gloom, Tiffany felt around for her diary. It wasn't there. She looked on the floor in case she'd knocked it off. Then a match flared as Rob Anybody lit a candle, and there was the diary, looking as though it had always been there, but, she noticed, also being suspiciously cold to the touch. Rob looked innocent, a sure sign of guilt. Tiffany saved the questions for later and poked the diary out the window. Flakes settled on it. She lifted it closer to her eyes.
"They look just like any ordin..."
she began and then stopped, and then said, "Oh, no. This must be a trick."
"Aye. Well, you could call it that," said Rob. But it's his trick, you ken.
Tiffany stared at falling flakes drifting in the light of the candle. Every one of them was Tiffany aching, a little, frozen, sparkling Tiffany aching. Downstairs, Miss Treason burst out laughing. The doorknob on the door to the tower bedroom was rattled angrily. Roland de Chums Fanley, pronounced Chuffley, it wasn't his fault, carefully paid it no attention.
"What are you doing in there, child?" said a muffled voice peevishly. "Nothing, Aunt Anuta,"
said Roland, without turning around from his desk. One of the advantages of living in a castle was that rooms were easy to lock. His door had three iron locks and two bolts that were as thick as his arm.
"Your father is calling out for you, no?"
said another voice with even more peeve.
"He whispers, Aunt Araminta,"
Roland said calmly, carefully writing an address on an envelope.
"He only cries out when you set the doctors on him."
"It's for his own good."
"He cries out,"
Roland repeated, and then licked the flap on the envelope. Aunt Araminta rattled the doorknob again.
"You are a very ungrateful child. You will starve, you know. We will get the guards to batter this door down."
Roland sighed. The castle had been built by people who did not like to have their doors battered down, and anyone trying to do that here would have to carry the battering ram up a narrow spiral staircase with no room at the top to turn around, and then find a way to knock down a door four planks thick and made of oak timbers so ancient it was like iron. One man could defend this room for months, if he had provisions. He heard some more grumbling noise outside, and then the echo of the aunt's shoes as they went down the tower. Then he heard them screaming at the guards again. It wouldn't do them much good. Sergeant Roberts and his guards, Kevin and Neville and Trevor, were edgy about taking orders from the aunts. Everyone knew, though, that if the Baron died before the boy was 21, the aunts would legally run the estate until he was. And while the Baron was very ill, he was not dead. It was not a happy time to be a disobedient guard, but the sergeant and his men survived the anger of the aunts by being, when their orders justified it, deaf, stupid, forgetful, confused, ill, lost, or, in the case of Kevin, foreign. For now, Roland kept his excursions for the small hours when no one was around and he could pillage the kitchen. That's when he went in to see his father. The doctors kept the old man dosed with something, but Roland held his hand for a while for the comfort that it gave. If he found jars of wasps or leeches, he threw them into the moat. He stared at the envelope. Perhaps he ought to tell Tiffany about this, but he didn't like to think about it. It would worry her, and she might try to rescue him again, and that wouldn't be right. This was something he had to face. Besides, he wasn't locked in. They were locked out. While he held the tower, there was a place where they couldn't poke and pry and steal. He'd got what was left of the silver candlesticks under his bed, along with what remained of the antique silver cutlery. Gone to be valued, they'd said. And his mother's jewel box. He'd been a bit late finding that. It was missing her wedding ring and the silver and garnet necklace his grandmother had left to her. But tomorrow he'd get up early and ride over to Two Shirts with the letter. He liked writing them. They turned the world into a nicer place, because you didn't have to include the bad bits. Roland sighed. It would have been nice to tell Tiffany that in the library he'd found a book called Sieges and Survival by the famous general Callus Tacticus, who invented tactics, which was interesting. Who'd have thought such an ancient book could be so useful? The general had been very firm about having provisions, so Roland had plenty of small potatoes, large sausages, and heavy dwarf bread, which was handy to drop on people. He glanced across the room, where there was a portrait of his mother that he had carried up from the cellar where they had left it, waiting to be cleaned, they said. Right beside it, if you knew what you were looking for, an area of wall about the size of a small door looked lighter than the rest of the stones. The candlestick next to it looked slightly lopsided, too. There were lots of advantages to living in a castle. Outside, it began to snow.